This episode is brought to you by Juul Wellness, beef liver and oyster capsule supplementation. We're all about if you can just eat liver and if you can just eat oysters, you're going to be absolutely crushing it at your hormone health. However, not everyone likes to be eating liver and oysters, and that is why this is the best possible option for you. These are some of the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet, packed with bioavailable iron, B12, zinc, and essential minerals that deeply support hormone balance, natural energy, and of course, fertility health. So if you are working on HA recovery, if you have been on birth control and you're trying to come off, if you've had an ED, if you've had multiple of the above, and of course, if you're preparing for pregnancy, Juul beef liver and oyster capsules make it really easy to nourish your body every single day. You don't have to cook. You don't have to make mess. You just have to swallow these whole food natural supplements in a capsule. We love Juul so much that we bought it. So we own it. We're very passionate. It's New Zealand sourced oysters and beef, which is the best possible kind you can get. And it's on every single protocol we ever do for our one-on-one clients, and it has been from the very beginning. So if you guys love a little bit of liver or you want to give it a try, because we're the owners, we actually have the best possible discount for you guys. So if you go ahead and use the code HA Society, you will get a 12% discount for life, and only you guys and our founding members have ever gotten a discount that big. So definitely, it's the best kept secret. It's just for you guys. Go to JuulWellness.com and make sure supplementation is 100% covered on your HA recovery journey. That's the code HA Society and use it at JuulWellness.com. On with the show. Hello, ladies, I assume. Welcome back to another episode of Stopping Perfect, the show where we talk and do things that are imperfect because living life is better than obsessing about other stuff. There you go. How's that for an intro? See, I do not need to make a fancy intro. And I feel like that's in line with the message of stopping perfect. You know what else is? Sorry. Biting into my croissant. I have a croissant every morning. The other thing that's not perfect is that it's currently Tuesday morning, 7:30 a.m. And the episode is supposed to go out on Tuesdays. So I'm behind. Reason being, I didn't record it ahead of time. Things are busy. I'm running a full-on business, guys. You know what I'm saying? But we just got back from the rest retreat. So we just got back from Sedona last night. That was an amazing trip. Huge shout out to the girls, Caitlin, Christina, Megan, who came along. That was so much fun, transformative. And Sedona's just like that, you know? So I didn't have a episode ready. I was like, you know what? I'll just get up, have my croissant, have my coffee. And we're just gonna bust it out. So in the last episode, it was actually a body image one. And feedback was that it was helpful, but you guys, more feedback is needed. Please, screenshot the episode, tag it in stories and let me know what you liked. That'd be great. But we talked about body image. This episode, we're not focusing on that all day, but I did go into the HA Society, which is, our community for women with HA or who have overcome it. And I asked them for help with this episode to get their tips, because I shared with you mine. But what do they do? What have they found works for helping to heal their relationship with their body? Y'all, we got like 17 responses, something like that. I'm going to read them. All right. Michelle said, focusing on gratitude for all my body can and is doing for me every single day instead of focusing on how it looks. When I get to thinking about it, especially as a nurse, It is just so amazing how many concurrent processes are running that are outside of your conscious awareness or control. Oh, I love that one. I feel like I used to say that all the time. If you're an OG of the podcast, like if you scroll all the way back, or if you've been in the community course, probably I'm like, you guys, it takes energy to blink. It takes energy for your eyeballs to be moist. Okay. Every single little thing that you're looking at on your body or thinking about or anything that you do is something that takes energy and is a complex function that your body does for you. Let's have some gratitude, guys. Chalissa says, knowing or following more people on social media who have varied body types to remind myself that all body sizes are beautiful. Definitely. If you're only looking at one type of body, of course you're going to be like, oh, why don't I look like that? And you're looking at the smallest percentage of photoshopped people. Okay. Heather says, I'm still struggling with this one, so I'm very interested to hear everyone's thoughts. But something that does help me is to focus on living my dream life and let my body be, rather than focusing on living a life revolving around controlling my body size. Oh, yes, Heather. Absolutely. Absolutely. Crystal, reintroducing, quote, scary foods during people's gatherings. This helped me focus on the people around me more than the food itself. Mm-hmm. So that's an environment that's helping her to like make that brave new addition to the diet. Having someone else choose my meals or make my meals for me and just enjoy the experience. Love it. Maggie says, recently realizing that my body has a unique shape and that I can dress for that unique shape has made a world of difference. Was listening to some of the throwback episodes with Samantha Dawn. Yes, we have episodes back on over on the HA podcast with the stylist Samantha Dawn, verifying the whole it's not you, it's your clothes idea. Oh my gosh. We talked about this at the retreat. Because while we were doing a hike, Mishi was talking to the girls about this and asked like, how did I deal with the body image changes, and was like, okay, in the beginning, I just surrendered to like, this is what my body is going to be like. This is how my body's going to look. I accept it as it is. Fine. You know what I mean? Like, fine. Which I think is a good and important exercise to do, honestly. Where like, it didn't matter what I dressed in, I still had that appreciation. But also figuring out what looks good on me really mattered. I'm going to assume very much that I talked about that in that episode. So there's that. All right. Marie, as a yoga teacher, it's been helpful for me to shift from the mindset of movement for fitness to movement as medicine. Focusing on stretching, mobility, and digestion-friendly movements like twisting poses makes me feel refreshed and like I've moved my body while still providing the restoration it needs right now. Yes. So good. Inez does spiritual work and growth, leaving her ego aside and finding a life purpose that is bigger and beyond my physical self. Yes. I believe so much that you are all meant to be doing significantly bigger and better work in this world than worrying about how you look. And that's taking up energy for you to be doing something of actual value. That was so helpful for me when, and you know, in a big way, I made you guys my purpose, and 10 out of 10 recommend that purpose. But you know, you don't have to make this your purpose. It can be anything else. It can be focusing on helping someone else around you. I think if I was going back through it now, and I have my daughter, I would focus on, you know, my parenting and focus on her and how does it feel to make her my purpose now. And if you're trying to get pregnant, if like your goal of recovery is pregnancy, that's a solid one that you can do right now too, even for someone who's not born. At the retreat, we had everyone write a promise to their either a existing child, desired future child, or if they didn't plan to have children. We had like a really like two of each in every group, in the group. But if you don't plan on having children, like what are you hoping to, what are you going to contribute to the world, right? Because children are a contribution to the world. And the person that you raise, that you're bringing into the world, is a contribution. But if you're not going to have kids, that's fine. What are you contributing? You know, what's that promise that you're going to make to them or to the world? And I think that like when you really dive into that, what you can promise them in terms of like the model, what you're modeling, you know, your relationship with others, your relationship with food, your relationship with self, your relationship with life. Oh, it's pretty deep. Okay, Abby. She does full body lotion session. Abby, that creeps me out, dude. But I get it. She says she sits around naked more, wearing one tight and one loose clothing item. Like tight pants means a loose shirt and loose pants means a tight shirt. Okay. All right, girl. I like that one. I've heard it before. I know it's actually been recommended on almost every body image, like seminar or workshop I've been to. So it's kind of like a ritual thing where like you are doing something really kind and generous and taking time for your body, actively doing something for it, which I think is really cool. You know what, actively doing something for it that's not exercise, right? A lot of people are like, I just want to work my body out, something I'm doing for myself and for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's other things your body wants you to do, I promise. Okay, Mina, this will be great. Let's go, Mina. I started to work on loving my body. I would feed her, work on getting enough sleep, not overwork myself when I was in pain or tired, wear clothes that felt good against my skin. I wanted to love myself and my physical self, especially as my body was changing, weight gain. I created an album of pictures of me so that I could look at them and see myself instead of being unpleasantly surprised when I look in the mirror. New clothes that fit replaced my old, and I used this as a time to work on the styles I liked. Yes! Favorite colors, more hoodies or plaid jeans with the perfect rips in the knees. I dressed for how I was happy, comfortable, and confident. Even before I believed it, I told myself that I was beautiful. Seeing myself dressed to go out naked at home in my sweatpants, I reminded myself that this body was lovely. And as important as my body is, I also know that how I am physically is only one part of me. Just as much as Mina as my short, just as much Mina as my short hair or my smile. Oh, I get it. I'm just as much Mina as my short hair or my smile. I am also the jokes I tell, the books I can lose myself in, the daydreams I carry. I'm not there every day, but generally I am at peace with my body. This one made some people cry. Your numb response. Love that. Okay. Julia, for me, it was literally just living it. My body was and felt so long, and I gained around 40 pounds. I still went out with friends and did things and was around my family. No one thought any different of me. My pup sure did not notice. Also, once I did this, I was able to get back to hiking and skiing, and that brings me joy. Absolutely, Julia. And then the last one is Mishi. And Mishi says that this is my favorite topic, which is so true. Like, yawn. Oh. When I do the discovery call, so like if people are interested in coaching with us, I get on a call with them, learn about them. We talk about their case, and one of the purposes is for me to get an idea of like which coach they should work with. And if someone's like, I just really need to heal my body image right now, and they want to do deep work, and that's like their main priority, Mishi's going to be their girl. So I'm going to send them to her. So she says, at first, I had to create a healing environment for myself. This meant a little intentional isolation. I truly believe there's a place for this in healing. I covered up mirrors, avoided photos, distanced myself from certain people, and curated my social media. If it triggered me, bye. Then I re-emerged into the world. Like Julia said, I lived it and I felt it. Almost like exposure therapy. I put myself in social situations I knew would be uncomfortable. I started jumping into photos again. When discomfort came up, I sat with it instead of abandoning myself, and I validated my feelings. I reminded myself, there is nothing wrong with my body. I am worthy and deserving. I will show myself the same level, the same love I would a child or another human. Another thing that really helped is videoing myself at the beach and watching it back. My view of my body was so distorted, and this helped me to see myself more clearly and get familiar with my body. Another game changer, dressing for my healing body. Wearing clothes that actually fit and feel good made a huge difference in my acceptance. And honestly, I walk around naked at home a lot just to practice not hiding my body. Mindset shifts have been powerful too. I'm not letting myself go, I'm letting myself be. Understanding that my body was never the problem. It was how I thought about my body that was. So unpacking what shaped my view of my body was a journey. You guys, so good. So happy. Thank you all for participating in that over in the group. Okay. So on my mind is talking about parenting, kind of. So parenting is very life post-HA. I mean, so many of you have kids now or are going to be planning on getting pregnant. This just would not be a topic appropriate over at the HA Society, I don't think. Everything is a gray area. But when we're on the retreat, one of the questions that I ask everyone, and I join in, obviously I answer them myself too. And one of the questions prompted something from, Caitlin, who had come to Sedona, she had also come to Zion. So this was her second retreat. So she remembered that while, in this personal development work that we were doing, one of the things that came up for me was that I had kind of admitted out loud, confessed, if you will, I'm not that good a mom. I think she says she remembers that I rated myself a 6 out of 10, I do remember doing this now. And this is so true. Like, honestly, guys, last year was really hard for me to show up as everything, to show up for myself, to show up as a business owner, to show up as a mother, all the things. This year feels so much better, so much lighter. Over the course of that time, I made realizations about things that are causing me to rate myself a 6 out of 10 on the parenting scale. So in truth, I've never been a kid person, not a kid person. And a lot of people resonate with that. That's pretty normal, right? Like some people love babies. The other half are just like, I don't care about your baby. But I do care about my own baby. When you have a kid, that changes because you just like, you get it more and you see all kids through a different lens. But, you know, if you haven't had kids before or first-time parent, it can be like that for a lot of people. So I didn't have a lot of like skills or interest around kids. And I also am just the type of person who's always trying to do a lot, achieve a lot. I have a lot of dreams. And the nature of being a woman is like, if you want to have kids, you're going to have to figure out a way to do that in tandem with your goals and dreams, or you're going to have to say goodbye to something. Both are valid options. And at some point, both will probably happen. You'll try to do it all and you'll have some success, and eventually you'll have to also make some changes. But I discovered that I was multitasking way too hard. And that was taking me out of being a mom. That's one big piece of it, okay? There is also a piece where for the first 2 years, your baby is basically a potato and there's not a lot you can do with them. So if you don't love the infant stage, I don't think there's anything weird about that. It makes sense. Like, they barely have a personality. They can't really communicate. They're super cute. Your phone is obviously filled with pictures of them and you love them so much, but you're also like, dude, you're really, really stop it. You and your nap schedule and the way that you're yelling at me all day is like really a buzzkill right now. But as they age, they get more fun. And I think people who have a similar mindset and experience around kids as me all have a very similar, like, agree, right? Like, right around three, like 2.5, they start emerging as really cool. And then 3, it's like, oh, you're so cool. Like, stay this way forever. And I have noticed that I thought I was a bad mom because I struggle with patience. I'm not that mom, or I had a story in my head that I'm not that mom that can, like, go with the flow and, like, it's okay, sweetie, we're just gonna clean it up. You know, like, I would sometimes get short, impatient, and frustrated. And even though I know it and I can see it and I feel it coming, I would still struggle to respond how I want to respond as the parent that I want to be. And I assure you, I feel no shame in saying this because every single, I believe in my soul that you're all exactly the same as me, just varying levels. And it's about how you handle everything outside of your life that allows you to show up as the parent you want to be. All of this is just to say that. So, way too much on my plate. And if I'm trying to parent her and multitask, if I'm trying to parent her but get some work done, or if I'm trying to parent her but something stressful has happened, so it's in my mind. Turns out when you're dealing with something stressful, you're processing something stressful, you really want the space to do that. You know, you really just want to think, process, stay quiet, you know, clean the kitchen or something, just like to, like, let your mind kind of think. And if you have someone who needs you, who's hanging off of you while you're trying to do that, that's what makes you shorter with your responses, less patient, less compassionate, less gentle, less nurturing, all the things that we want to be as mothers. And I just started noticing the pattern because I would have more and more days that I am in a good headspace and I would be proud of my parenting in that moment. So I definitely recommend to anyone thinking about this or even struggling with this is, like, you gotta clear that mind. You gotta clear that mind to create space for your child. That's why everyone's like, oh, it goes so fast. Because we're just in the grind. You gotta create space, boundaries. And it's hard. And it's good to know about yourself. It's good to know that this is an issue. And this has always been an issue for me. Because I actually remember my dog, bless her heart, RIP, Jasmine. If I were in that headspace when we went for a walk, I would not let her stop and sniff the roses. Like, I would get annoyed. I would be wanting to walk and I'd be like on this mission, kind of walking fast, and she would want to stop and sniff stuff and I wouldn't let her. But if I'm in a good mood, oh, sure, you go ahead. You know, let me know when you're ready to keep going. It's exactly like that. So I know this about myself, and this is something that I need to actively create space, like, an environment for. So I realized that I have 4 pillars of priority in my life. That is work. That's you guys. That's work. that is, and that encompasses my relationship with Ashley and Mishi, which is very important to me. And then pickleball. My relationships with others, like, right, so like partner, boyfriend, whatever you want to call that situation. And then Zara, she's number one at the list. I just like worked backwards from there. But the thing that I would drop, if I had to drop one, would be pickleball, obviously, right? So like if I can look back and be like, all right, I'm having trouble prioritizing Zara, you know, are any of the other areas taking up too much of my space and energy? And it doesn't matter which one it is. So like, say it's work, but as a result, fitting in training is getting in the way. Like fitting in training is building on top of that. I'm going to take that away to create more space for me to deal with the work issue, to create more space for me to like be more relaxed about things at home. You know what I mean? So for me, that's a really important piece to parenting. I don't have a lot of tips I can give you other than that at this stage. But that's something that has just been on my mind. And I think that you could probably see it come up in other areas. But if I had one tip, one tip, you know what I mean? And then random side note, but if you are pregnant or planning on becoming pregnant, you don't need a nursery. You really don't. Like, I mean, especially if you have like a house that's more than just like two bedrooms, you're not going to use that bedroom. You're going to change their nappy on the couch. You're going to do it on the bed, your bed, not their bed. What you need is like a really good caddy that just has everything in it to carry around the house. That's what you need. So I hope this episode gave you guys something, anything, you know, to think about. Really appreciate you guys hanging out. Please support the sponsors of this show that you have heard throughout the show. And I'll see you guys next week. Do send me any recommendations that you have or want for episodes. I can even do an interview. I'm going to do an interview soon with Ashley about having a work wife. How do you have a partner in work and sport? How do you make that work? Like, it seems really hard, right? But we actually have a sick relationship with work. We get so much done. We have really awesome shared philosophies. So I'm going to get her on soon to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the various streams of income that producing estrogen, eating food, and having energy allows me to balance, and more and more. So definitely do that. Make a screenshot of this episode, post it on your story, and do tag me in it so that I can see, and leave your suggestion there, or just send me in a direct DM on Instagram at Danny Sheriff. And this was great. Thank you guys so much for being imperfect with me right now. And I hope you have a sick Tuesday. And I'll see you guys next week. Doodling. That's my sound effect for this ad break. Again, this episode is brought to you by the wonderful, the amazing Jewel Wellness, nature's multivitamin for your goals that matter the most. Energy that lasts, no caffeine crash, skip the coffee, have the liver. It is packed with essential nutrients to support your reproductive health, your egg quality, your cycles, and don't forget his sperm quality. The whole family should be taking it, and you should be rotating beef liver and zinc. He's going to need it for his testosterone, just quietly. Okay. Hormonal skin issues. Liver is rich in vitamin A. And actually, you know what? So is oyster. So be on both of those things. Rotating through 1 month oyster, 1 month liver. This is going to help promote clear skin, healthy hair. This is the natural form of vitamin A. I could talk forever, but you guys need to get back to the show. So go to jewelwellness.com and use the discount code HA Society to get 12% off, biggest discount available anywhere. All right, back to the show. Bring!